House Ways and Means Committee will please come to order. Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne.
Here.
Vice Chair Zika.
Here.
Representatives Altman, Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Clemmons.
Here.
DeSigley.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Hart, excuse. Killebrew.
Here.
Maggart.
Here.
McLean. Sabatini. Schultz.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Silvers, excuse. Schlossberg.
Here.
Daly, ex officio.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, please remember to silence all your electronic devices. And matter of protocol today, continue to wear your mask during this time. Members, we had six bills on the agenda. However, we are going to TP House Bill 219 at this time without objection. Show that bill is TP'd. We'll go right into CS for HB 1429, Tourism and Convention Development Taxes by Rep. Avila. Rep. Avila, you're recognized.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection recently stated that the state of Florida will see more than 2.5 feet of sea level rise by 2050. That could impact over 300,000 homes across the state and cause more than $145 billion in losses in property values. This bill will provide local governments with the additional flexibility to address the realities and implications of flooding. This bill allows local governments levying tourist development taxes, TDTs, and convention development taxes, CDTs, to use those funds to finance flood mitigation projects and improvements. This bill will provide local governments with the ability to use these funds for vital projects they believe will provide the greatest benefit to their communities. Members, that is a bill.
Members, having heard the bill from Chair Avila, are there questions on the bill? Representative Caruso, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Speaker Pro Tem, for bringing this bill forward. I've got some concerns, though. In a time when we've had COVID and its effect on our businesses and our tourism. I'm from Palm Beach County, and our tourism has suffered greatly. Our hotels are hurting, all that stuff. And how do you, what would you say to those hotels and businesses in the county that survive off of tourism that were redirecting money that would go to, you know, the cultural council, or the beach renourishment, or you know, to the sports commission? We've got some minor league teams there. What would you say to them about redirecting it to flood mitigation?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first, I would say there is no redirecting. This simply provides an option. We're not mandating. We're not telling them what to do. We're not doing anything directing them to do anything. We're simply adding another tool in their toolbox so that when the time does come, right, if obviously they're seeing an increase in let's say the water levels, they're seeing tremendous, you know, flooding issues, you know, they at least have another source, particularly as many local governments are cash strapped, just another source, another tool in their toolbox to address those issues. In my opening remarks, I stated what the Secretary of DEP mentioned, which is that, you know, by 2015, we're going to see at least an additional 2.5 feet, potentially 3 feet of water, right? So what I would say to the tourism industry is, you know, it certainly won't be, I think they'll be coming to the local governments to do something when their hotel sees an additional 2.5 feet, 3 feet of water at their doorstep. In saying that, again, I just want to reiterate, this bill does nothing to mandate, to direct. It does absolutely nothing to make the local governments do anything. It doesn't redirect. It does nothing of that sort. It simply provides an additional option for those local governments, if they choose to. Again, this is the important part, if they choose to use those dollars for flood mitigation. And so, you know, I would say, and I want to be very clear and upfront, there is absolutely no scenario where the tourism industry, the hotel industry, food and beverage, you can go down the list, that they will ever support this bill because of, you know, they perceive this as an expanded use. But again, I would reiterate to you, I bet you that by 2015, they will come begging to the local governments to do something about flooding when they start seeing 2.5 feet, 3 feet of water at their doorstep.
Thank you.
Follow up, you good?
No, I'm good.
Rep. Casella, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. Going on the lines of Representative Caruso's question, is that tourist hotels are probably our number one or number two economic revenue generator here, especially in South Florida, where I'm from. So why did you earmark the funds to come out of the tourist and convention development taxes? Why not another source of revenue that could? And I agree with you 100% that there is climate, you know, change, whatever you want to call it, and sea rise and all that, and that has to be addressed. But my question to you is then why focusing on the revenue source to mitigate that coming out of the tourist and convention development taxes and not another source?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for that question, Representative. I would ask you, you know, if there's widespread flooding, what industry do you think will be most impacted? Right? If I'm a tourist from outside of the state of Florida and, you know, I'm starting to see, you know, just with king tide, you know, torrential downpours, whatever the case may be, sea level rise, you know, and I'm starting to see hotels, particularly in South Florida, whether it's Palm Beach, whether it's Broward, whether it's Miami-Dade, whether it's Monroe, you know, if I'm starting to see that, quite frankly, everything's flooded, why would I go there? You know, so I don't think any industry in particular would be more affected than the tourism industry as a whole. And again, this bill does absolutely nothing to redirect, to mandate, to direct. It does absolutely none of that. The only thing it does is it provides the local governments with an option, if they choose, for flood mitigation.
Members, other questions? Okay, Rep. Avila, there is an amendment on the bill. You want to explain the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the primary purpose for this amendment is to remove the provisions in the bill that required all TDTs and CDTs to be approved by referendum every 5 years. The strike all does require all new or increased TDTs and CDTs to go through the referendum process and be approved by the voters, but none of the taxes will be subject to the 5-year renewal process. Again, none of the taxes will be subject to the 5-year renewal process. The amendment also makes clear that all CDTs will be authorized for use in flood mitigation and flood improvement projects. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Questions on the amendment, members? Questions? Yes, Representative Escamani, question.
Thank you so much, Chair. One quick question. I heard from some of my Orange County folks today, just speaking to bonds on long-term projects, I'm sure you've gotten the same feedback, so I'm just curious, is there any concern around the uncertainty of dollars being made available for long-term projects that have been bonded out, just to thinking about a local government planning, if that revenue could change, it could impact what they have to pay back this bond? Would love for you to comment on that.
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question, Ranking Member. I'll tell you, and that's an excellent question. Those were some of the questions that I heard at the first committee stop. And this strike call is really an attempt to kind of address those concerns. So with this, again, it provides surety in the sense that whatever they have in place, they can continue without a problem whatsoever. Now, as I mentioned in the remarks, if they are looking to increase the amount of TDTs and CDTs, then at that point they would have to ask the voters for that approval. If it is an additional or a new CDT or TDT, again, they would have to ask the voters for that approval. But again, there is no renewal, five-year renewal process or anything of that sort.
Members, other questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony on the amendment. Have a few. I'm gonna butcher this name, I know I am. Amando Abrara, Greater Miami Beaches Hotel Association. And he wishes to appear in person. You're recognized. Was I even close?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, representatives. My name is Armando Ibarra on behalf of the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association. Also wanted to thank Speaker Pro Temp Brian Avila for his attention. This is a very important issue. Respectfully, we oppose the bill, and we urge all of you not to dilute or to divert funding from tourism promotion, which is so important to our economic recovery here in Florida. And it's also the explicit use that was approved by the voters when the TDT and the CDT were approved. Instead, we urge you to look at other sources of funding, including sources of funding that are already available to local governments, from the federal government, from FEMA, or from the recently passed COVID stimulus bill, which appropriates billions of dollars that local governments can access for flood mitigation projects. So we thank you for your consideration. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you. Next, Robert McKee, Florida Association of Counties, Public Director of, or Director of Public Policy, Deputy Director of Public Policy, wishes to appear. You recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. We want to first thank Representative Avila for the revisions in the strike all that take out the five-year renewal and automatic repeal of all existing levies. We do still have concerns about the referendum requirement, and there is some language in the bill in the strike all. I think it's lines 25 to about 40, where we still have some concerns about it, how it may be impacting some of the bonds with respect to the third penny levy. So we do still have concerns about that. We have concerns about the future requirement for a referendum where today the source can be put in place by a vote of the board. So we want to thank him for the strike all, but we do still remain opposed to the bill once it's adopted.
Thank you. Next is Samantha Paget, Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, wishing to appear as an opponent. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Samantha Paget. I'm the General Counsel for the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee. I want to share with the committee that we know that advertising works. It works for consumer products, it works for campaigns, and it works for tourism. And that's why when these taxes were passed, it was with the knowledge that knowing that devoting dollars to the promotion and marketing of tourism was good for our state. And we've discussed in previous sessions the importance of tourism to the state of Florida. And because that importance is so large, you can connect almost anything in this state to the good of tourism, whether it be transportation, education, pick any topic, and we can tie it back to the health and vitality of our tourism industry. And in a state that is so driven by tourism and where we can connect everything, it is important that we continue to focus on that marketing and on that advertising. We are a state that is not only known for our internationally recognized theme parks and our beautiful beaches, but also swimming with the manatees in Crystal River, tubing down the Itchituckney River. There are all these smaller areas, these small treasures in our state that deserve these dollars. And these dollars are collected in those hotels, in those communities, specifically for the purpose of promoting and advertising visitors to those areas of the state. With every additional use that we adopt into the statute, allowing for additional uses, we dilute the usefulness and effectiveness of these dollars. We have fundamentally create what is a slush fund for issues and projects that haven't otherwise been prioritized in our funds. I agree with the sponsor, yes. There is probably nothing that would allow us to agree or support additional TDT uses, but we do appreciate that he addressed the issue of the referendum because that was very serious and significant, and we are grateful for that. But here we're especially concerned because with this additional use that would be approved, there's actually no demonstrated requirement that you demonstrate a direct connection to tourism. With previous uses that have been approved, there has been a required demonstration of the nexus between what the funding is used for and how it will improve tourism. Under this language, you could have a purely a residential area, not a tourism impacted area, but a residential area that's impacted by flooding, and the dollars would be available to use for that purpose. And we don't think that that fits with the purpose of TDT. As other speakers have said, there are other funding and financing mechanisms that are available, and there are dollars that exist within the local governments that they can prioritize for these uses. And we advocate that those things should be done first before we look to plunder our TDT and CDT dollars. Respectfully, we rise in opposition, and we ask for you to oppose this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Padgett. Now, members, I made a little housekeeping error. These are all speaking on the bill, although they addressed some of the amendment language in their discussion. So this is the last. Is waiving in opposition is Natalie Fossil, Indian River County Board of County Commission, opposition to the bill. Okay, so back on the bill, the amendment, debate on the amendment. Members, do we have debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Representative Avila, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, having waived on closed on the amendment, all in favor of the amendment say yay.
Yay.
Any opposed? Okay, good. Show the amendment adopted. So, members, now we're back on questions on the bill as amended. Questions on the bill as amended. Seeing no questions on the bill as amended, public testimony on the bill as amended. Seeing none, debate on the bill as amended. Members, debate on the bill as amended. Representative Grieco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm up on the bill. I was up on last year's version, and Speaker Pro Tem and I have very similar thoughts about providing some flexibility. You know, flooding and sea level rise and climate change, we can call it whatever we want to call it, but I live in the southern tip of South Beach, and I invite you all to come down and come see my dry lot turn into a wet lot. And I'm surrounded by hotels, and I'm surrounded by tourism. I own a small bar restaurant that we've got our own resort tax that's not impacted by this bill. I kind of wish it was. And I sat in local government, and local governments are having a tough time funding flooding mitigation projects. And there is no Florida to visit if there's no cities to visit if they're underwater. You know, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole about the corporate welfare piece of our taxes strictly going toward marketing for certain industries, but I'll tell you that the industry is tied in with our ability to stay dry. I live it. I see it every day. And, you know, for all the coastal communities that have a tourism-driven economy, they should be up on this bill because I am and I get it. So, thank you.
Members, other debate on the bill as amended? Yes, Rep. Caruso.
Thank you, Chair. First off, Speaker, I appreciate the strike all amendments, and I'm concerned about the redirection of funds from their original purpose to other things that are maybe related, if you know, or may not be related in this case. You know, we see the Sadowski funds being allocated every year to something totally unrelated, and I'm very concerned that funds here will do the same, that they'll, you know, be misguided to areas that don't have any effect on tourism. And you know, the concern from the attorney from lodging at restaurants and lodging, you know, it dilutes the effectiveness of what the tax was set up for originally. Well, this is a challenge for me. And we've spoke about it, and you know it is. I think if we could, you know, if we could do something that restricted somehow the redirection of flood mitigation to areas that are impacted by tourism, then, you know, I'd appreciate that going down the road. I'll be voting in favor of it to move it on, but hope that we can have discussions with kind of bringing in the flood mitigation purposes of the bill. Thank you.
Re- Rep. Escamani, you recognize in debate.
Thank you so much, Chair. I first just want to comment on the debate around is flood mitigation related to tourism, and I feel like it is, in the sense that Rep. Greco just painted the picture that if we have folks who want to come to Florida, they're not going to come to Florida if things are underwater or if there's property damage or if their favorite attraction gets closed temporarily because of flooding. We're already seeing the impact in parts of South Florida, and it's very, very real. And it's not a short-term fix. It's a long-term issue. Just because we get a flux of money right now from the American Rescue Plan doesn't mean that 10 years down the road, the problem's going to be fixed. So we have to think long-term. And as a home rule kind of a girl, I think giving local governments the option to make those decisions is really smart. But I also just want to add, members, that there's other issues that tourism impacts. There's traffic, public transportation. I think you could even make the point about workforce housing for many of our theme park staff, where I am in Central Florida, that are living in hotels and motels. And by the way, we have Central Floridians living in hotels and motels who pay the TDT. They're not visitors. They are residents, and they pay a bed tax, which I just encourage you, Speaker Pro Tem, as you work on TDT issues, to think about how do we make it less regressive, because in my district, I have folks who are precariously housed, and they live day by day paying rent into a hotel, and they are charged this tax. So I would even argue that we should consider ways to make it less regressive by ensuring people who pay the tax are not working class people who work in the industry. And so with that said, I appreciate the points about championing other sources of funding for these projects, and I do encourage the tourism industry to look beyond sales tax. Again, that's a regressive tax. And if we do want to find other solutions for flood mitigation, let's think long term and be advocates for that at a local level, because local governments are trying to solve these problems, but are limited, especially when you have such an anti-tax culture. Nobody wants to increase taxes, so we look for using a same revenue to stretch it out. So if you are serious about finding new funding sources, then get engaged in that process. But I encourage you to look beyond sales tax, because at the end of the day, when you increase sales tax, that's impacting Floridians. I know at least 23% comes from tourism, but that means that more than 70% comes from everyday people paying to sales tax. And we shouldn't keep taxing our residents like that when there are other options out there. So with that said, I'll be up on the bill, but I just want to encourage folks to put yourselves in the shoes of working people, navigating these issues, and try to vote on what their everyday experiences are, knowing that many of those folks work in tourism and they're not paid well to do that. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Members, other debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no other debate on the bill as amended, Chair Avila, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members. Members, quite frankly, Florida is facing unique challenges that require bold solutions. That's the reality. The Office of Economic and Demographic Research has estimated that roughly $44 billion would be needed to address flooding throughout the state. This bill will provide local governments with the necessary flexibility to proactively address, if they choose, again, the important part here is if they choose to address the realities and implications of flooding. And I want to share with you a quick story that I shared with the previous committee. Sometimes people try to convince you that doing something isn't the right thing, and then what ends up happening is it actually turns out to be the right thing. So I'll give you a story about my mother. Because of her previous experiences in Cuba, there was two things that she didn't want me to do growing up. One of them was to join the U.S. military, and the other one was to be an elected official. Members, I think we can all agree things worked out. The tourism industry, they will advocate the only way that they would support this bill is if it was dead. Let's be honest. So they will constantly advocate that this is not the right course of action. But in reality, this might turn out to be their saving grace. And with that, members, I urge you to support this great bill.
Speaker Pro Tem Avila, having explained his bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart? Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers? Schlossberg?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Seventeen yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, please show the bill is passed. Thank you, Rep. Alvo. Next, members, for consideration to see us for HB 209, Big Cypress Basin by Representative Botana. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Payne, Vice Chair Zika, and Ranking Member Escamani, and the rest of the committee. House Bill CSHB 209, a study was completed in 2020 that concluded that the Big Cypress Basin should be expanded into Lee County. Pretty much the sum of the problem is, guys, in South Lee County where I live, we have an habitual flooding issue, and it always affects the lower class or the working class of our area. My house flooded out when I was a kid, and we just need to get it fixed out, changed up, and moved into the Big Cypress Basin, and that is the bill, sir.
Rep. Botana, having explained this bill, members, do we have questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, do we have amendments to the bill? No amendments. Public testimony on the bill. Okay, great, thank you. Daniel DeLisi, Lee County Board of County Commissioners. Waiving in support, thank you. Mindy Gibson, Satellite Beach. She is an opponent and she wishes to appear in person. Mindy here, Mrs. Gibson, don't see her. Martha Edenfield, Lee County Board of County Commission. Waiving in support, thank you. And Lisa Hurley, she is Collier County Board of County Commissioners and she is and waves in opposition. Okay, members, debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Botana, you recognize to close on your bill?
Wave close, sir.
Having waved close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 209? Announce the vote.
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart? Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers? Schlossberg?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Sixteen yeas, one nay.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we have House Bill 597, Homestead Exemption for Seniors 65 and Older by Representative Woodson. Representative Woodson, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon.
Chair Payne, Vice Chair Zika, Ranking Member Escamani, and all committee members. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to present this bill. My sincere thanks to Chair Penn for allowing me to present my first bill in the state legislature.
That could be a mistake that you said that. You realize that, don't you?
I sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you.
This bill is very important to me, not only because I have a love for seniors, but also because I felt we need to do right by our seniors. But most importantly, I lost my dad 2 months ago, and one of the things he told me while I was campaigning, he said to make sure that I advocate for the seniors when I'm here. So I would present the bill as directed by Chair Payne. Florida law provides for an additional homestead exemption for low-income seniors whose adjusted gross income falls below a specified amount set by the Department of Revenue each year. Current law requires every low-income seniors receiving this exemption to submit annually to the property appraiser the same documents previously submitted in order to continue receiving these tax savings. Unfortunately, each year, several seniors fail to renew their exemption, losing this valuable property tax saving for which they are eligible for, simply because they are subjected to a very cumbersome and confusing renewal process. Keep in mind, those are the seniors who are on fixed income, who are trying to make ends meet, who are trying to decide whether to buy the medications or to pay for the food. House Bill 597 simplifies and streamlines this process for our Florida seniors while maintaining the integrity of the exemption. This bill would require only one initial one-time filing and would place a requirement that the seniors inform the property appraisers if their income status changes. This will also reduce the administrative burden on the property appraiser's office. This is the bill.
Representative Woodson had explained their bill. Members, are there questions on the bill? Yes, sir, Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill forward. Mr. Chair, I've got a few questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'll grant you the latitude on a few questions as long as we don't get too far out of bounds since it's our first.
Thank you, sir. Representative, you said it's a one-time filing, meaning I turned 65, and when I'm 90, I still don't have to reapply?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Council, for the question. The issue with seniors, a lot of seniors are forgetful. They do not have anyone watching after them. You will be subjected to an audit during the course of between 65 and 90. The property appraiser's office does a fantastic job at auditing the seniors in order to see if they have come to additional income. Second, based on what was done, it was only 8 seniors who were fined out of 30,000, close to 30,000 seniors. Only 8 of them were over income by a small margin. So we need to make it better for our seniors in order for them to continue receiving the exemptions.
Follow up.
But am I correct in assuming that I would never have to reapply for that entire 25-year term?
You're right.
Sorry, sir. Because you are on a fixed income, so you will not be required to resubmit the paperwork.
And
final question.
Yes, final question. You mentioned that this is a confusing and difficult renewal process. I understand to be a one-page document that they have to sign and you know, basically affirm that they qualify. How is it confusing and difficult? And don't you see that if they, under the audit process, if there's a 10-year clawback, we could really jeopardize the position of these individuals if there was a 10-year audit and they had to go back 9 years. They went back 10 years and 9 years where they didn't qualify and they'd have to repay the cumulative amount with penalties and interest.
Is there a question there?
Yes. How is the renewal process confusing and difficult?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not just a one-page, Web Caruso, it's not just a one-pager. It's the affidavit, the W-2 form, the income statement, and all the paperwork that they have previously submitted. That's one. Second, the seniors that we are referring to are not seniors who have a lot of income. Those are the seniors who are on fixed income. They might get 50 cents or a dollar above of what they are getting. So if we were talking about the general population, I would say yes, but those are seniors on fixed income who do not get additional money. And the process is confusing for them because as you age, you tend to have dementia, you tend to have all kinds of issues. And a lot of those seniors do not have anyone watching over them. So this is the population that we are referring to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep.
Sir.
Thank you, sir.
Other questions on the bill? There is an amendment?
Yes, to the bill. Yes, Mr.
You're
Chair.
You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment does three things, the amendment to House Bill 597. First, it removes the duplicative language already in the statute in reference to the penalty for receiving this benefit improperly. Second, the amendment removes the language so the bill will make it clear that a taxpayer will be required to submit supporting documents to prove their income level when first applying for the exemption, but never again unless audited. Lastly, the amendment changes the date taxpayers must submit to the property appraiser if the most recent household income exceeds the income limitation from March 1st to May 1st. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, do we have public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Members, debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Woodson, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for allowing me to talk to you today about House Bill 597. On this note, I will close. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. So, members, we're closing on the amendment. Without objection, show the amendment is adopted. And so, questions on the bill as amended, members? Any questions on the bill as amended? Yes, sir, Representative Zika. Vice Chair Zika.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Woodson, for bringing forward this important bill. Just a quick question. In your opinion, if this bill passes, it will help our Florida seniors because of efficiency and effectiveness and the least amount of paperwork for them?
Yes. Oh, can I answer?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Vice Chair Zika, he would help all the seniors throughout the state of Florida who are on fixed income. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Other questions on the bill as amended? We have public testimony on the bill as amended. Dr. Akinyemi is a proponent and wishes to appear. Don't recognize them in the crowd. They're from the Florida Association of Property Appraisers. Doreen Barker with the AARP. She is waving in support. And Lauren Levy, the Property Appraisers Association of Florida, Inc., waves in support. Okay, no other public testimony. Debate on the bill as amended, members. Debate, Representative Daly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to say, Representative, first off, good job on your first bill. And secondly, thank you for bringing this good bill. Not just for the seniors in my district who I know will benefit, but in all of our districts across the state. You know, look, there is so much that folks go through as they age, right? And anything that we can do to make it easier for them to continue to live in this great state and afford to do so, we should be doing. So I commend you on this good bill, and I'll be up on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Members, other debate on the bill as amended? Representative Duggan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to add my congratulations. This is a fantastic bill. You've achieved a great public good, and at the same time, you've increased government efficiency, so very well done. Congratulations on your first bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other debate on the bill as amended? Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. I also just wanted to congratulate Representative Woodson on her first bill. That is such a feat, and also what a great bill to start off with. To echo your comments earlier, we should be focused on improving the lives of our most vulnerable and marginalized people, including our seniors, many who want to age in place, but struggle to do that for different barriers, and trying to eliminate one of those barriers is really, really important. So congratulations. I look forward to voting up on your bill.
Thank you.
Representative Caruso, you recognize the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Representative, I had a lot of questions, and we spoke prior to this a couple of times. And I just wanted to say that you did a great job in answering them. I was going to be down on this bill walking in here today, but you sold it well, and so I'm going to be up on this bill. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Other debate on the bill as amended? Let me just add, Representative Woodson, thank you for coming to the office on numerous occasions to shepherd this bill through this challenge, and you've done a great job on your first bill. I'm a little disappointed in Representative Killebrew for not speaking up in favor of the bill, but we'll overlook that. So Rep. Woodson, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. I mentioned earlier, I really appreciate it. I went to you And you were really gracious in allowing me to, in putting this bill on the calendar. And for that, I will always remember it because this is my first one. And I would like to thank every single member on this. Reb Zika, thank you so much. I'm not going to call everybody's name. But I just want to close by saying that we are doing a great service to our seniors because they are in need at this time that we're dealing with the pandemic and so many other issues. So by advocating for them and passing this bill, we will really help them to survive, to make ends meet, and to really get to choose whether they have to pay for the medication or the food. So thank you so much. I'm a little nervous because I'm thinking about my dad who passed, and this is one thing that I know that he would love to see me standing here and presenting this bill. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I want to send a special thanks as well to Marty Keir in Broward County. When I talked to him about this issue, while I was campaigning, I found out so many seniors who were really trying to make ends meet, and I talked to him, and he did all the research to get me the information that I needed. So thank you, Marty. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support.
Representative Woodson hadn't closed on her bill. Rosa, will you please call the roll on House Bill 597 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Pacello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schultz? Silvers, Slosberg.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, show the bill has passed favorably. Representative Woodson, thank you for the professionalism you used in presenting your bill and our condolences to your father on his loss. Thank you. Or to you on your father's loss. Thank you. Members, next bill we're here is CS for HB 649, petition of objection to assessments by Representative Fernandez Barquin. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Leader Escamani, members, let's talk about property taxes on condos, on condominiums and condo associations. Currently, what the law states is that condo associations can appeal the tax assessments for all the condo owners to the Value Adjustment Board. Before filing this petition to the Value Adjustment Board, the association must provide each condo owner with notice of the appeal and their right to opt out of the appeal. If the condo association wins at that level, the county property appraiser can appeal to the circuit court that decision. At that level, though, the property appraiser currently will serve each and every of those unit owners in the condo association. What this bill does is that it essentially allows for a defense class action and for the condo association to represent the condo unit owners at the circuit court level. And it also allows the condo owners the option to opt out of that at the circuit court level if they decide to. What this bill essentially does is that it just creates some judicial efficiency. It clearly helps our constituents. The Property Appraisers Association is neutral on the bill, and the Miami-Dade Property Appraiser is supportive of this change. And most recently, there was, at the Revenue Estimating Conference, they determined that this would be a zero or negative indeterminate effect. Thank you.
Representative Fernandez Barquin had explained his bill. Members, do we have questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments on the bill. No amendments. Public testimony on the bill. No public testimony. Debate on the bill. Members, debate on the bill. Seeing none, Representative Fernandez Barquin, you're recognized. Close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 649 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Pacello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart? Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schultz?
Yes.
Silvers? Slosberg?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
CS 17 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 649 reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you. And our final bill for the day, and Rep. Roth, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but CS for HB 1035, Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District, Martin and Palm Beach Counties, by Rep. Roth. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair Zika, Ranking Member Escamani. It is my honor and privilege to bring this bill forward today, HB 1035, Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District. This is a local bill. The Environmental Control District is an independent special district created in 1971 by special act. And that happens to be 50 years ago. And that's one of the reasons it's my honor to bring this great bill at this time. The charter of the district was most recently codified in 2002. The district operates a sewer and wastewater system serving the towns of Jupiter, Juneau Beach, Village of Tequesta, and unincorporated portions of Martin and Palm Beach County. What this committee substitute does is it codifies the existing charter of the Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District. This local bill codifies the district's authority to conduct water quality, environmental enhancements, and environmental education, to lease district property to non-governmental entities, and to allow passive outdoor recreation and limit the district's liability related to such use. This bill also removes obsolete language and makes revisions to ensure consistency with the Florida statutes. And this bill is supported by many government, environment, and nonprofit organizations, such as the South Florida Water Management District, which gets and uses a lot of the data provided by the district. Chair, that is the bill.
Members, questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? No questions on the bill. Amendments. There are no amendments. Public testimony on the bill. We have Aubrey Arrington, Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District, wishes to appear. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Payne, Vice Chair Zika, and Ranking Member Escamani, and all of the esteemed members. Really, out of respect of you and your office and the work that you do here, I wanted to be here. I'm the Executive Director of the Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District. I have been in that position about 13 years. We're very proud of the work that we do. When you compare us throughout this great state of utilities that do a lot of great work, consistently our rates are ranked in the lowest 10th percentile. It means that we're doing very good work when you look at what we're doing, and we're doing it very efficiently. I think how you would have us do things when you created us, and we appreciate your consideration of this local bill, and certainly I'm here if there are any questions that I can answer.
Thank you, Mr. Arrington. Next to appear is Laura Donaldson, Loxahatchee River Environmental Control District. Wishes to speak, wave in support. She's waving in support. Thank you. Members, debate on the bill. We have debate on the bill. Seeing no debate. Representative Roth, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Just one point. I just thank you to Aubrey Arrington for bringing this great bill forward for me to sponsor at this time. I can't say enough about this organization. His being here today speaks to how efficiently and how well they do their job protecting the environment and providing many environmental and educational services. This organization is easily 30 years ahead of the curve and the great things they're doing. With that, I close.
Rep. Roth, having closed on this bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll and see us for HB 1035 and announce the vote.
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Bisigli?
Yes.
Duggan? Grieco?
Yes.
Hart? Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers? Schlossberg?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Member, by your vote, please show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Roth.
Thank you.
And Members, that completes our bills for today. And we have a meeting scheduled now for next Wednesday at this time. Unless there's change, we'll let you know. And without objection, Rep. Dudley moves we rise, and we're adjourned.